Good morning. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. It's time for the State Capitol Report on this Monday morning, and we'll begin the hour with WPR's state government reporter, Sean Johnson. After 7:30, Senator Glenn Grothman joins us. He is the author of a bill in the state Senate that would require non-marital status to be listed as a possible contributing factor in child abuse cases. That's coming up after 7:30. But as I say right now, we welcome Sean Johnson into the studio. And good morning, Sean.
Morning, Gene.
Well, it is good to have you along as always. And Monday, as we look ahead, it seems the top story I heard on Friday when I left work, and then all weekend I read about it and heard about it. It is this mining legislation, and I don't know if we're coming up to the 11th hour, but we're getting close to something, and something going to happen? It might or it might not.
It might or it might not. We are getting close to the end of the legislative session. There's this week and next that they're scheduled to be in, and that's it for the rest of this year. Doesn't keep them from coming back in a special mm-hmm. session or something, but you know, obviously there's a lot of campaign activity going on this year with recalls and everything else. So there's a definite urgency there for Republicans. And the key holdout in the Senate, Dale Schultz, is basically in control of this debate. I mean, if there's going to be a mining legislation that passes, and there's assuming that Democrats stick together, Republicans have to come to Dale Schultz and answer his concerns. And so last Wednesday, when he held a press conference outside of his state capitol office, reacting to the latest compromise proposal on the mining bill, you know, it basically sounded at the time like Senator Schultz was a no vote.
My conscience simply won't allow me to surrender the existing environmental protections without a full and open public debate and contested case hearings. If the mining company needs these changes to build their mine outside of Mellon, the least they can do is explain those changes publicly to the people who will be affected and submit to the public's questions.
So that was Wednesday. Senator Schultz met on Friday with Representative Robin Voss and Senator Alberta Darling. They're the co-chairs of the legislature's budget committee. And he spoke to Wisconsin Public Television after that meeting. Didn't say, you know, that they had a deal. In fact, he said there wasn't a deal that he could vote for. But he did indicate that there was maybe some room for them to vote for a bill or to pass a bill on the areas where they agree.
I think it would be an awful shame if on the things we agree, we let them die in this legislative session rather than send a signal to a mining industry that is, you know, trying to tell us that we need to modify our procedures. And on those things that we agree, I think we should pass them. On the things that we don't, we ought to tell Wisconsin what we're going to do to move forward so that there's some hope in the next legislative session there will be change.
So, Sean Johnson, what issues are it that Senator Schultz is really concerned about here that are enough to cause him to be sort of the lone holdout right now on the Republican side?
Well, I think there's four issues just in hearing from Senator Schultz and others who, you know, have a keen interest in these negotiations. Seems like there's four issues that this debate is centered around right now. One is the timeline for approving mining permits, which is, you know, what we heard in the beginning, that's the reason we're here, is that there's no finite timeline for mining permits in Wisconsin. That's what the mining company wants. Senator Schultz has proposed a longer timeline than Assembly Republicans proposed. The senator and others have said that's the kind of area where they could probably find a middle ground or a common ground in terms of the number of days that the mining company and the DNR are allowed to grapple over these mining permits. There's also the issue of how much money from these mining companies go to local governments. Again, that's a number issue and one that, where there's potential for common ground, according to the senator and others.
And when you're talking about local governments,
yeah,
you're talking about some of the communities that would be near to the mine that might have to build roads and that sort of thing, right?
Right. In Iron, Ashland counties mm-hmm. or the, you know, Mellon, Wisconsin up there, any of those local governments that are going to be impacted by the mines, whether it be roads or any other kind of, you know, environmental effects. That's the reason that you have money from these mines go to these local governments. And so, you know, there's some argument over what kind of a split should go to the local governments, what should go to the state, and how much you take from the mining company, you know, what form the tax takes. But that's an issue where, you know, it sounds like there might be room for agreement.
All right. Issue number three.
Okay. Contested case hearings. And this is, I mean, it's basically where a mining company has to testify under oath about mm-hmm. their plans.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that Dale Schultz has said is an absolute for him. And it sounded until recently that, you know, Assembly Republicans were not going to go along with that, that they were absolutely not going to have contested case hearings for the mining bill. Now, it sounds like there might be some wiggle room on that, where if you have the contested case hearings within the normal permitting process, they might be okay with that. So then it boils down to the environmental changes in this bill. And that's where the senator says there's just so much here. A lot of this has just come to light that the mining company wanted these changes. And I don't know if we can reach an agreement on all these environmental changes in this bill. And there are many. I mean, there's a lengthy memo from the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys describing, you know, one by one, all the environmental changes under this proposal. And that's the area where it seems like Senator Schultz is very uncomfortable with moving quickly, just because he says, you know, we don't have the expertise to understand, you know, long-term effects of what we're doing here. And so he does not seem inclined to agree to those changes. He wants to maybe pass a bill that on the areas where they agree, contested case, timelines, money, and leave the environmental stuff out. And we don't know at this point whether Republican leaders are going to see it that way.
So the idea of passing part of it but not all of it in a just sort of, I guess, in an attempt to move something forward?
Right. That's what he's talking about now is passing something.
It sort of brings up the whole issue, because one of the things I've been reading about the last couple of weeks for the Republican Party is that, you know, that in terms of big pieces of legislation in this session, this is the one that's left, right?
This is the one that's left. And I mean, this is the way that they've built it. They've built this as their marquee, you know, job creation bill. And they could have built another piece
sure.
of legislation that way. This is the one that they chose this session. And so, you know, Dale Schultz has a lot of leverage right now. If they want to pass this, they have to come to him, assuming no Democrats flip and, you know, provide that 17th vote that's needed in the Senate. And that's the whole reason that Dale Schultz is so relevant right now, is because Republicans have a 17-16 majority in the Senate. Every vote counts. And he's the one, at least, who has the most outspoken concerns. There may be other Republicans who, you know, share his feelings, but he's sort of the spokesman for them right now.
And we'll be talking more about some of the recall updates in a few minutes. But this situation that the Senate finds itself in goes directly back to the recalls from last summer.
Yeah, if there had been no recalls, there's probably enough votes mm-hmm. in the Senate, very likely enough votes in the Senate, that they wouldn't be talking about making these changes, that they would be passing the bill that already passed the Assembly, that gets rid of contested case hearings, that has all these environmental changes, less money for local governments, et cetera.
Do you think that if the Senate might wind up taking a formal vote just to get people on the record as saying no? Or do you think that they might just let it go and go with a partial piece of legislation, as Senator Schultz has mentioned? Or how do you think that might play out?
I kind of think that there might be a vote on this no matter what, mm-hmm. just to get people on the record. It's just such a, you know, an intensely political issue. And I mean, it's a complex issue. It would affect in some ways the culture of Iron and Ashland counties for years to come. It would certainly affect their environment, affect an area of natural beauty, affect the economy up there. And it's very political, though. And so there are northern Wisconsin legislators in particular who, you know, that people will be watching their votes on this.
We're talking with Sean Johnson this hour. It is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're going to return after a quick look at the weather and a big break here and talk about what's coming up in the Assembly and a pretty action-packed calendar. I don't know about action-packed, but it's big. And there may not be a lot of action in it, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So we're going to get back to that. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy. Expect a slight chance of some light snow, possibly some flurries in the northwestern part of the state. Expect highs in the 30s. Then tonight, isolated snow showers in the far northern part of Wisconsin. Some freezing drizzle in the far northwest. Otherwise, lows will be in the 20s. And then on Tuesday, it'll be partly cloudy and warming up. Areas of fog, and in the east tomorrow night, you can expect more of that as well. Tomorrow, highs will be in the 40s in the north, and believe it or not, the upper 50s in the southwestern part of the state. Not too warm out there right now in Superior. It's 3 degrees above zero under clear skies. Eau Claire reports 14. It's 12 in Wausau. Green Bay, it's 5. In Appleton, it is 9. In La Crosse, it's 17. Madison reports 10. And in Milwaukee, it is 16 degrees. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock. It's the State Capitol Report here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Gene Purcell with you, and I'm joined by our State Capitol reporter, Sean Johnson, this hour. We've been talking about some of the mining legislation, but we're going to be turning to the State Assembly right now. And as we end the session, a pretty big calendar to look at, Sean.
Yeah, end of session, this often happens, where everything gets just stacked up toward the end. There's only a couple weeks to get anything done if you want to bill passed. And so there's quite a few, fairly controversial issues up in the Assembly tomorrow.
And one of those has to do with the Wisconsin. And now, this is something I'm not familiar with. There's a proposal to exempt the rent-to-own industry from Wisconsin's Consumer Act. So tell me about that.
Well, yeah, this hasn't gotten much attention this year, even though it was a pretty big issue like 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's been big in the past.
When Governor Doyle was governor, under Governor Scott McCallum as well. Both of those governors vetoed rent-to-own legislation. So this bill that was got its public hearing last week and was voted out of committee last week would exempt the rent-to-own industry from Wisconsin's Consumer Act. And basically, the rent-to-own industry says the Consumer Act, because of the way that it treats rental products, is tantamount to a ban on rent-to-own stores in Wisconsin. And so you see them, all over the place in other states. They do exist in Wisconsin, but not so much. And so there's a push to exempt them from that, regulate them differently by the industry now. Scott Harvey's a vice president for the national rent-to-own chain Aaron's, and he says that if they pass this bill, they could open 50 rent-to-own stores in Wisconsin.
We're not the rent-to-own business of the 80s. So I'd please ask you to consider that, because our consumer has a choice. They only do business with us because they like the transaction and they like how they're treated. It has nothing to do with the old rent-to-own days of trying to rip somebody off.
And this is something that Bob Anderson of Legal Action Wisconsin says, while this year's legislation is different than the past, it all boils down to, basically one key issue, and that is when you operate under the Wisconsin Consumer Act, a rental product, something that you're going to rent, until you own it, keep making those rental payments until you own it. Right now they have to show the APR, the percentage rate that you're going to pay on these products. He says that's a good thing. If you take this away, that consumers, especially poor consumers, are going to be the ones who are hurt.
Make no mistake about it. This bill is about and has always been about only one thing and one thing only, and that is that the Consumer Act requires that you disclose the interest rate in these transactions. Why do they want to get rid of that? Because the interest rate on these things can be as much as 200 to 300%, and consumers, when they see that, will not buy the product.
So there are some caps on how much a consumer can pay in this bill. Although, as Bob Anderson mentions there, you could still end up paying 200 to 300%. His reading of those caps in terms of, what you ultimately pay for a product if you rent it till you own it. This is probably going to get a bipartisan vote in the Assembly. Whether or not it passed the Senate, we don't know. Senator Glenn Grothman has actually been a pretty outspoken opponent of rent-to-own legislation in the past. And again, the same metrics may apply on this one as apply on the mining bill. You know, if he's against it, it could hurt his chances over there.
Yeah, you said earlier that two previous governors have vetoed similar legislation, Jim Doyle and Scott McCallum. So any indication from the governor's office about his thinking on this?
I don't know as of right now. It's something that just popped up, you know, mid last week. So I didn't realize it was even a push to do it again this session.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. It could turn into something. These things often do. Elsewhere, highway projects, lots of talk about those always, and partly because they're so expensive. There's always questions about whether they're needed. In any case, there is a bill, as I understand it, in the legislature that would require It would change the way these road projects are being estimated. Right now, a cost-benefit analysis is required for major projects in Wisconsin above, I think, $25,000.
Right.
And this bill would change that?
It would say you no longer have to.
It would eliminate it.
And right now, the cost-benefit analysis has to look at whether private engineers or state engineers could do the job cheaper. This plan would get rid of that. Republicans who are backing it say that the information that they're getting in these analyses isn't valuable because it's just estimates. And so Representative Jerry Petrowski of Marathon, who chairs the committee that just passed this last week, he says that it's wasting the department's time and money to do these.
The information really isn't relevant because it isn't actual. It's only estimates that it's based on.
And Democrats like Amy Sue Vruwink of Millidor say that this is the kind of information the public expects.
If we don't start somewhere of what this project is going to cost taxpayers, we're doing a total disservice to the people of Wisconsin.
So what are these cost-benefit analyses showing?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly new law, so there's not years and years of data on what they're showing, but a 2009 audit found that most of the time, 60% of the time, the cost-benefit analyses, these estimates, are showing that state engineers could do the job cheaper than private contractors. And yet, despite that finding, the state was going with private contractors 100% of the time. And so, this is something this bill is being pushed by the road builders, a very strong political force at the state capitol. It's at least scheduled before a vote in the assembly this week.
And we'll see where that one goes too. And again, I have to say, this is not one that I've heard a lot about. I guess that's just a sign of the times. There's so much other political news out there right now that, you know, I think in normal times, this is the kind of thing that would be top of mind.
Yeah, but when you have, recalls,
et
cetera, it kind of all filters down to the bottom, I guess.
Well, speaking of recalls, which we just were, some news last week, Governor Walker, Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, now say they will not be challenging the signatures on the recall petitions. Was that a surprise to folks who watched the Capitol closely?
Well, I mean, the Walker campaign had said in a court filing previously that its initial review is showing an error rate of between 10 and 20%, which is a big range. But even if you accept that they're seeing 20% of these signatures were bad, not nearly enough to disqualify the recall. And so they wanted more time to look at these. A judge said no. And so the Walker campaign said, okay, we're not going to challenge them then. A Tea Party group may still try to challenge them through a lawsuit, but right now under state law, the board says there's no way for them to formally challenge signatures.
And at the same time, I heard a story last week about the Government Accountability Board asking for more time to do something. And I have to tell you, in all the excitement about the GAB lately, I've lost track of where they are at exactly. What do they need more time for?
Well, they say that they're asking for more time for a couple things. One is they think they're going to need more time to review these signatures because of a court ruling in Waukesha that changed the way that they're changed the standards they're supposed to use when they look at these signatures. But they also say that just in terms of timing an election, that unless they get an extension, a recall election, probably a recall primary, could fall less than a month after the April 3rd election. Okay? So, and the GAB says that clerks need a full month to finish up, paperwork, clearing out memory devices for voting machines, stuff like that, after a regularly scheduled election. And if you have a recall election too soon after that, the clerks can't do it. So the GAB is going to ask for more time, partly for that reason, and then partly because if they don't, the next election, the general election, could fall pretty close to the Memorial Day holiday weekend. And so the board says that would create some headaches, too. We don't know if a judge is gonna see it their way, but that's the case that they're going to make. And we also don't know how much extra time they're going to ask for.
So best bets right now on when a primary election might be held and when a general election might be held?
A primary election could be held early May. A general election could be held early to mid-June. So it's coming up. I mean, in March, cold days of March maybe seems like a long ways away, but not too far, really.
It doesn't seem that long.
That's a compressed campaign for a statewide office, for sure.
For sure. We've got about a minute left, Sean, before we have to let you go. What else is coming up in the Assembly or the Senate this week that we may have missed?
Well, I mean, speaking of recalls, there is a proposed constitutional amendment in the Assembly that would restrict recalls to officials who are charged with crimes or violating a state code of ethics. The catch there is we don't know what the code of ethics is yet, that'd be set by a later legislature. So that this is sort of a first step for that proposal. There's also something coming up that would let students with disabilities transfer to private voucher schools using public money. That's going to be a controversial issue in the Assembly, as voucher schools always are. Opponents of these voucher schools say that they, they're not always equipped to handle students with disabilities, don't have to hire special ed teachers that the public schools do.
Well, Sean Johnson, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Gene.
Great, and we'll see you next week. Sean Johnson, our state government reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to it here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.